This isn't about ministry. It's not about, you know what it's about? Here's what it is. It's about living your life in such a way that you leave a legacy. It's about you. It's about people. It's about people. It's about the body of Christ not building a monument to what you did. You know, Bob said it the other day. He said, man, if you got to redig my well, then resurrect me from the dead. And we'll, you know, that's it. We don't want to leave a well that's covered over. We want to leave a legacy. You're here. Gosh, you're here for a small time period. You're here for just a little while. You're not here for long. I don't care if your life's 120 years. It's still not long compared to eternity. And we're here for just a short period of time. You know, when I look at the life of Jesus, the one that the Bible says that I'm supposed to follow after, you know, and man, how amazing would it have been to hang around the reality of the books couldn't even contain what he did in 3 years? I don't know. But I know that it says that we should have more than that. And that's like crazy, man. What would it be like if we believed that? What would it be like if we didn't allow past tragedies and things that didn't work out the way that they should have? What if we didn't allow the experiences in life to speak louder than the life of Jesus Christ? What if we didn't allow the things that we didn't have happen? What if we prayed for somebody and it didn't happen, and all of a sudden that marks our life and stops us from the gospel and stops us from bringing the truth of who God is? What if we allow the other people that have made mistakes and prayed for people and they didn't get healed, or things that didn't happen, or you were told, hey, listen, and I talk to people all the time. We pray for somebody and we tell them, well, you know, and I talked about it a little bit today. Someone prays for somebody and they're not healed. And then they say, well, just believe you're healed. And they go, and all of a sudden, like, they die. And then all of a sudden, the whole family is wrecked, man. A whole family is wrecked and people are wrecked. And we put that thing. Listen, I'm going to be very vulnerable and I'm going to talk to you, okay? I'm going to talk to you about healing. And it's, you know, and probably right now it's like, it's burning in my heart. I'm going to talk about the reality of your walk, not just praying for people when they come to you, but you going to them, and not just, and you getting every bit of doubt rocked out of you. And because I can't afford to live with doubt. I can't afford to. I need to be a man of faith. I can't afford to be the log jam. Jesus said these things are possible in me, and I can't afford to have a book of excuses of why it doesn't happen or why it shouldn't happen. I can't afford to allow my experiences that didn't work out the way that God said it should to ruin my view of who God really is. And we've got so many different obstacles. We've got so many different hurdles that we put on this track called the race. We put these hurdles on and make it harder for us to run. And we call it like a valid excuse. Well, that's not how it worked out for me. Well, I'm sorry. I really am. Listen to me very carefully. I pray for people and I watch people get healed, and I pray for people and I watch them die. And it bothers me because they didn't when Jesus prayed. And he's my model. He's my example. Life is not my example. Experiences are not my example. Jesus is my example. There were many things that Jesus said. Many things. And we say a whole lot of things that Jesus never said, hoping to get the same results that Jesus did. And there are doctrines that are out there that are built on to protect people's past losses, lost loved ones, and things that didn't work out. So we build a doctrine out of that to protect the fact that, man, it didn't happen. So we have to make up something. And when we make up that stuff, it's at the cost of truth that sets people free. Listen, I'm not popping off to you and telling you how this is in my view. No, listen to me. You know what? I've prayed for people all the time. And I've watched people die, and it bothers me. You know? I'm going to be real vulnerable. I'm just going to talk to you right now about some stuff that's even happening in my life. You know, my mama, my mother, who has come so far. She's probably watching right now. She's come so far in Jesus, and like her faith has grown so much. You know, my mama was diagnosed with breast cancer. My mom. And I don't like that, because I've seen it healed. So we prayed, and my mom went in there and got checked, and it wasn't gone. So she had to get surgery while I'm here at this conference. My mama. So don't you tell me. I know I am in this thing, and it is a war. And you know, people are like, well, you know what? You don't know what I've been through. No, you have no clue. I know more than you think about what it's like to have stuff that should be healed, not. And it bothers me. But I can't find the excuses in the mouth of my Lord. I can't find the things that didn't happen in his voice, and this is why it didn't. I can't find in the mouth of Jesus, look, I'd love to pray for you, but it's not God's time. I can't find in the mouth of Jesus, look, I'd love to pray for you, but you need more faith. I can't find in Jesus's mouth, I'd love to pray for you, but your character's being built. That's trash. That's demonic stuff. It's from the devil. Some of you are going to be upset with what I have to say. And I'm not sorry. And I'm not being mean. I'm telling you, because if I don't speak the truth and proclaim the truth of the reality of what this is, listen to me. Man, my mama didn't get healed, and it bothers me. But I won't back off of this healing thing because somebody didn't get healed. Listen to me, if somebody gets hurt, if my mama, man, if she died from cancer, I wouldn't back off of this thing. I'd go after someone else's mama so they'd live. My heart is undone right now. It really is. People are like, why are you sharing about your mother? Because it's my mom. You know, I share testimonies of people that are healed, and it happens all the time. Then I have people I pray for that are not. But that doesn't give me the right to make up my own doctrine to validate what didn't happen at the cost of truth of why it should. Or I'll never grow from faith to faith. I'll grow from faith to excuse. We are Christians. We are sons and daughters of God. We've got the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. The same one. Listen, if you lost a family member and you prayed and it didn't happen, I'm sorry. And my heart cries out for you. But I'll fight for you. I just prayed for somebody back home, man, had cancer, was on his deathbed. Amazing man. We watched him die. Man, I don't like that. I'm not just in this to be some gifted young man that prays for the sick and that's all. I'm a son, man. But I'm here to represent. And I'm not here to represent Todd White. I'm here to represent Jesus Christ. What does it mean to represent? It means to represent. Represent Jesus. Healing is part of this. Man, we're so good with the forgiveness end of this thing. And even though we sometimes don't believe that we're forgiven, because we just have these voices whispering and we're listening to the liar. The same liar is whispering these excuses of why people shouldn't be healed. The same voice. But we don't have much trouble in believing that if you pray and ask Jesus Christ into your life and believe that he was crucified, resurrected, that we get to heaven one day. We don't have a problem with that because faith has been established in that area. And the reason why faith in the healing thing hasn't been established is because we have so many excuses and so many reasons why not. Listen, man, I have been through some stuff in my own life. I remember tearing my knee. I tore my knee. And I am preaching and I am praying for people and people are being healed and I tear my knee. And people are praying for me and it doesn't happen. I'm not healed. That is not okay. So I've got to go under the knife. That's not cool. So I have to go under the knife, man. I come out of surgery. I am groggy, you know, anesthesia. I am totally still a Christian. For real. And in the process of waking up, I get this word of knowledge about the anesthesia lady. Listen to me. What you're going through physically in your own body is not your identity. You're a son and a daughter. So a lot of times we're out there, we're praying for somebody or we want healing to come, and all of a sudden the devil says, well, you're sick. What would make you think you could pray for somebody else? Well, what is that? The very reason to go after this thing even more. So I said, you get migraine headaches, honey. You got one right now. I can hardly speak. And I throw up from anesthesia. I'm not good. And I'm feeling sick. And this lady's there. And she goes, yes, I do. You need to relax. You're not really with it. She thinks I'm still out of it. And I said, can I see your hand? I grabbed her hand with my IV hand and pray for her. And her migraine headache left right there in the recovery room. Listen, man, I'm not talking about like some like, yeah, I'm talking about being a son and having the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, having everything that's accessible to you, unless you make excuses and unless you allow life to potter you and situations to mold you and things that didn't work out to crush you. And my knee's messed up, man. I come out of there, it's hurting. Feels like the doctor took my kneecap and I'm hurting. Groggy, pain medicine. Go home. Man, all the while, this is like I'm 3 years old in God, man. I am seeing the most amazing stuff. It's awesome. Awesome. And my knees hurt. And that's not cool because I should be healed. I'm not just, you know, by his stripes. Yes, that's true. And in theory, it's true. And in all practicality, it's true too. But if I don't see that in my knee, do I have the right to make up a doctrine to explain why my knee wasn't healed? No. What I do is I pray for every knee that I can find when my knee's hurting. I saw 36, I counted them, 36 knees healed and reconstructed when my knee was messed up. Going through recovery. Physical therapist office. They're recovering my knee. Because my knee's messed up. I haven't seen it. Like jump. It recovered quicker. Which is awesome. But it wasn't like bang, gone. Woo, awesome. I wish it was. But it wasn't. So I'm on the recovery table. There's somebody else beside me in the physical therapy office with a bad neck. And the person walks away. Hey, listen, you mind if I pray for you? Bang, and God heals them and they leave. Your brain will go bonkers and messed up. You'll be like, and your mind will be going crazy because our mind gets corrupted and gets twisted and all kinds of thoughts that just try to flood you. And the enemy loves to whisper lie upon lie upon lie. I love to talk about the healing stuff. It's awesome. There's another side to it. It's the times when I don't see it. And I want to. And I do. And there are people that are alive because I press in. And there are people that have died because I press in. But I'm not gonna do this bow out thing or allow life to kick me in the face. There are no final victories in hell. Somebody needs to be an example. Somebody needs to believe the truth. Somebody needs to rise up. Yeah. You know, we got this thing on the thorn, like this thorn, like Paul had some thorn. And I mean, and it's everywhere I go. It's like this haunting thorn. And he talks and he says, you know, as a man was lifted up 13 years ago, whether in the body or not, I don't know. Saw things I can't even utter. And then it goes through and it says that a messenger of Satan was assigned to buffet. To buffet him. The word buffet means blow upon blow. Bang, bang, bang. Blow upon blow. The waves buffeted the boat. Boom, boom, boom. Buffet. There was a man named Ananias in the beginning of Saul's journey when he got knocked off of his high horse. or donkey. And he comes, and Jesus, before Ananias gets this vision, Saul is knocked off of this thing. He's knocked off his horse on the road to Damascus, and a light shines. And the soldiers can't see the light. They can hear something's freaky. Saul hears this, "Saul, why do you persecute me?" It's like, "Who are you, Lord?" Man, crazy. The one whom he was persecuting, he called Lord. In the encounter. "Who are you, Lord?" Jesus, the one you persecute. "Why do you kick against the goads? Why do you kick? Why do you do this? What's going on, Saul?" Silence. "Go to the house, and you're going to be at that house, and I want you to stay there." So Saul can't see. He's so freaked out, he won't eat, he won't drink. They take him to this house. He goes to this house, and at the time when he's at the house, he gets another vision that another man is coming. His name's Ananias, and Ananias gets a vision from the Lord. It's like vision here, vision there. God's showing up in Muslims' lives like that. And all of a sudden, Saul gets this vision. He's so waiting for this thing to happen because he can't see. Because he needs new eyes. So Ananias gets this talk by Jesus. He said, "You're going to go to this house. There's a man named Saul." Ananias says, "Oh, do you have any clue who he is, God? Lord, he's been sent with a letter to jail us. He killing church members. Go. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So the prophecy comes from Jesus. If Jesus prophesies, it's probably going to happen. Dead on. So he goes to the house. Saul is like, "The Lord told me you were coming." Boom. Scales fall from his eyes. Saul's awakened. This killer, this madman, this crazy man. He's awakened. But Jesus prophesied something's going to happen in this man's life. This thorn thing stands in the way of healing so many times, but it's not a huge obstacle. It needs to be understood. It's just part of it. It's one of many things. We're going to share some stuff tonight. Are you okay? My mom's doing really well. She had surgery. She's doing really good right now. And she, you know what? She got out. She was going into surgery. She's talking to the nurse about Jesus and about how amazing. I'm so proud of my mama. You don't understand. Like, when I came out of Teen Challenge and my mama was like, "I'm so happy for you." But didn't understand why the change was. She knew it was the Lord, but the depth of it wasn't understood. I'm the one that baptized my mama. I'm the one that had my mama come up out of the water, and she didn't even understand what tongues were. And she's I'm the one that talked to my mama 4 years ago when she got laid off from her job, and she's so stressed and so freaked out. Oh my God. I told her, "Mom, you gotta let go. You just gotta let go." "What do you mean let go?" She's the kind of woman that worked 3 jobs to just try to make ends meet, to try to make it meet. My mom, she's just trying. Everything she knows, try. She's a hard worker, independent, going after like independency. So she's so independent that when I said, "You gotta let go," she said, "No way, are you kidding?" So all of a sudden, her job got let go, which forced her into a position of not wanting to let go, but there's no wheel. This is 4 years ago. So she calls me and I talk to her and I said, "Mama, everything's going to be okay. I love you so much. Listen to me. It's time that you let go." "Well, I can't." I said, "Well, the Holy Spirit's coming right now." We're on the phone and he came into the house and shook her. I said, "I got to go right now." She's like, oh. And she got delivered from fear, worry, all that stuff, man. So now my mom gets faced with this. We don't see it healing. She goes, "You know what? I'm not afraid." I said, "I'm so proud of you." See, what people don't understand is that my grandma, we watched her fade. And we watched lung cancer come and kill her. So she just died a couple months ago. So don't try to tell me that I don't get it. Okay, this is real stuff, man. But it's causing me to press in all the harder. Because it ain't knocking me off of no horse. Because I am the donkey that carries in the king. So my mom's got that stuff in her head. She has to go through this stuff. But she's not even fearing, man. I'm so proud of her. Jeez, man. I was going to pour. I'm wrecked, man, in my heart. You have no idea. Because I just want us to press in. Stop bowing out. Stop allowing stuff that you didn't see to influence what you need to see. Stop allowing things that didn't work out the way that the Bible said it should have to manipulate, maneuver your belief system so that you can never, so you can praise God, but really just don't know where God is. And then people die or people get hurt, and then all of a sudden you think it's God's fault. He's not a thief. But Satan's a professional, man. He's a professional. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and God takes the rap. That's exactly what happens. He comes in, bap! Jesus, God's love isn't contingent on the things that you didn't see. God's love is contingent on Jesus Christ paid a price for you. So Saul, he gets his eyes back. He goes out, and it's crazy. Bible says that he learned straight from the Lord. Straight from the Lord. And Jesus told Ananias, and I'm going to show him all the things that he must suffer when he told him to go to that house. Listen very carefully. Here's the words. Go to Ananias. When Ananias said, what? For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. That word suffer isn't sick. If it is, we've got a real problem, because Jesus learned obedience to the things he suffered. That would mean that Jesus learned obedience through sickness. That's not true. Jesus came to his own and they knew him not. Jesus was persecuted hardcore. Guess what Saul was? Persecuted. Hardcore. Because right after it says, I was lifted up. A man was lifted up, whether in the body or out, I don't know. With this revelation of heaven, and it was awesome. A messenger of Satan was assigned to buffet me. And a thorn in my flesh. Right there. This talks about the thorn. Right after buffet. Here's the deal. Saul was told by God, by the Holy Spirit, I think it's in Acts 21, I think. He said, every town that you go into, chains and imprisonment await you. Every time Saul went, he knew what was coming. He was getting ready to be whooped and beaten. And Saul knew that Revelation 12:11, the reality of a Christian's life, how do you overcome the devil? The blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and you love not your own life unto death. So that thorn thing has nothing to do with sickness and everything to do with persecution and suffering for the gospel's sake. That's just one of many things. Lazarus. How much faith did Lazarus have to come out of there? Listen to me. The disciples, he told the disciples, but he was told by people that your friend Lazarus is sick. Jesus is like, I'm hanging out for a couple more days. Couple more days. Couple more days go by. He's dead. Now let's go. The disciples are like, he said, well, if he's sleeping, Lord, he'll get better. No, Lazarus isn't sleeping. He's dead. But I'm glad I wasn't there. They're like, do you think the disciples were on page with him? No, they said, last time you were there, Lord, they wanted to kill you. He's like, yeah, let's go. It's still light. Let's go. Come on. Thomas, let us go die with him. They're going there to die. They're not going there so that Lazarus can live. All they can see is death. The law of sin and death. Sin and death. Sin and death. Jesus was the light that came. He's the light of the world. So they go to this place and the sisters come out. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would be alive. How painful is that? If you'd have came here, then he wouldn't have died. What are you doing? Man, think of the hurt, the future hurt from that one right there. I told you, I'm the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? Yes, I believe it in the last day. I'm the resurrection and the life. Right now is life. Then all of a sudden, says the people, didn't he starts to weep? Jesus wept. And we say, oh, well, the Bible says, look how much he loved them. The reason why Jesus cried is because he was sad because they were sad. I guarantee you that his tears were different than what you think. I believed wholeheartedly in my heart that the reason why Jesus wept is because all they could see was death and he's life standing right in front of them. And sometimes we get so overwhelmed by what we're seeing and what we went through that all we can see is death instead of life. Guys, this is a fight. It's a fight of faith. Am I saying it's easy? Absolutely not. If it was, it might be called a walk. But it's not. It's called a fight. Because everything inside is trying to like take you the other way. But Jesus says his way. This is not have it your way. So the Bible says he tells the disciples in Matthew 10:8, he says, go and preach the kingdom, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, freely you've received, now freely give. And they're like, woo! Go and preach the kingdom and heal them. Awesome. So if you're going to preach it, you better bring healing. And then in Luke 10, he says, go and heal them and then tell them. Either way, it's show and tell or tell and show, period. Well, you say, well, that's not us. Jesus was just talking to the disciples. Well, I've got news for you. When you read Matthew 28, you'll see that when Jesus said to the disciples, go into all the world, make disciples just like you, teaching them all the same things that I command you. So when he said that to them, he's saying that to me. This thing is a fight of faith, but you can't allow your soul to be in torment to distract you from the mission. The mission of a Christian is not to go to heaven. The mission of a Christian is to destroy hell for a living. When I say I'm sorry because people have lost people, listen, me too. I've stared into the eyes of little kids that have brain tumors. And I've watched their eyes bulge out of their head. And I've watched them die. And I've prayed for them to raise. Friends, man. Personal friends. I'm not creating another doctrine. I'm going after this thing. And my heart is asking you if you'd go after the same thing. Stop allowing excuses. Well, they're in unforgiveness. They can't be healed. You're wrong. I've seen it thousands of times where people are belligerent and angry and yelling at me. Jesus touches them anyway because he can. I've seen people swearing and freaking out, fist in my face, and Jesus heals them anyway. I've had people yelling and screaming at me. They walk away, I don't believe in that, and pray, and they get healed on their walk. And they don't even come back and say thank you, and it doesn't matter. Because I don't need a thank you. I'm going to stand, and having done all, stand. I'm going to run and not grow weary in doing good, ever. You're not going to read about me in the paper. I'm not going to be some. You're going to hear about me in heaven. And I'm not looking at that. Keith Green sang a song, when I'm doing well, help me to never see the crown, for my reward is bringing glory to you. Jesus Culture copied it. It's an awesome song. The reality of this thing is I'm not praying for people and doing this thing so that God says, yay here. I know I'm going to get a yay there. I have given up my life. I've surrendered it, man. It's not about me. It's about him. There's lots of things in life that are trying to potter us and be the example. And Jesus is our example. God did not give you the gift of life at the cost of who he is. If you lose a loved one, that's a gift of life that was given to you. When you look at that chair and they're not there, you thank God for the time when they were. Instead of looking at it and saying, man, they're gone. You look at it and say, God, thank you so much for the time that we had. And you allow that thing to spur you on instead of kick you in the head. Don't you allow Satan to crawl up in your ear and on your shoulder to pound you. And don't you dare catch an attitude with a church that should have known better. Because the very fact is that if you got an attitude towards a church that should have known better, you've got an attitude because you should know better too. There's no right to be mad at somebody that didn't know any better. And the fact that you are mad doesn't mean you, that means you don't know any better either. And you're just a victim. You are not a victim. You're victorious. Sounds harsh. It sounds mean. I'm passionate, man. This thing's real. It's real. See, I've had the privilege of meeting many people that don't believe. Many. You know, I mean, today we went into that, to that restaurant. And we went in, just hung out. And I'm in line and I hear in my heart, this lady behind us, I'm just going to pay their bill. So I said, look, I don't know you. There's two ladies there, a mother and daughter. I said, I really just want to pay your bill for you. I'm like, well, that's really nice of you. I said, I'm from Pennsylvania. I just know I heard it in my heart. She said, okay. So I'll pay for their bill. Thank you so much. And as we're walking, the Holy Spirit says that her back is really messed up. And she's got pain all throughout her body. So I said to her, you got pain all throughout your body. You got some discs that are really messed up. She says, yes, I have chronic. She has a joint disease, degenerative joint disease. And she's in so much pain. I said, oh my goodness, can I walk you to your table? She said, sure. So I went to the table and she's there and her daughter's there. And I said, can I please pray for you? Because Jesus is going to take that from you. So I prayed for her and warmth and heat swept through her body. And she's like, thank you. See, he paid a dear price for you to have that. Listen, I'm growing in faith and I know that when I come up again, there's this faith thing and it might be a gift of faith. I don't know what to name it. I just know that I know that I know that that thing's leaving, but I want to be able to look at anybody in any condition and know that I know that I know that that thing's leaving. I know that when I pray for his shoulder, yeah, it's going to be healed and I'm so thankful. Awesome. I want to look at somebody that has a blind eye and say, no problem. Bang. Yay, Jesus. Yeah. But we'll never have that if we don't press into this thing and stop making excuses. I'm adjuring you and calling you up. I'm challenging you, church. I love the fact that I get to preach the gospel. I love it. I do. But it is challenging. The gospel demands change. It demands it. Doesn't ask for it. It demands it. Grace isn't a license to remain the same. Yeah, well, God loves me just the way I am. Well, you're right. He does. But the gospel demands change because you're supposed to look like Jesus. So does your life look like his? Because that's the model. That's the goal. That's the sandals. Because the gospel says that if I say that I abide in him, I ought walk just like he walked. Just like he walked is some serious sandals to fill. Does that mean we don't go through stuff on the way? Absolutely not. We go through stuff along the way. But the Bible says that that stuff isn't your God. So I said to her, I said, I need to pray for you. I said, and I looked at the lady and I said, ma'am, see, healing is not just for your physical body. It's for spirit, soul, and body. It's that you'd be born again and come to the relationship with God. It's so that your mind can be so free from tragedy and trash and victimism. So that you can be free. So you can have your mind set on things above so you're not a victim. You don't have problems. Jesus took them. Well, you trying to say I don't go through stuff? I'm just saying that stuff isn't your potter, man. raising the bar to normalcy. But this thing doesn't come without a fight with stuff. Stuff comes, man. You weather through it. And you don't beg God to take you off that altar. You thank God that he's there with you. And if you're sick, it says to call and ask for prayer. James 5:14 says, if you're sick, call. It's not a private matter. I understand if you're going through something and you want to take this before the Lord, and you know you're in a war thing and you understand. I've been in places like that. But if I'm hurting and I don't see breakthrough, then I ask somebody, listen, I want you to join your faith with mine so I can have breakthrough. Come on, will you pray for me? Let's stop laying the blame on the people that we pray for and tell them they need more faith. Jesus never said that. I'm waiting for a believer to know what the deal is with the gospel. You pray for them and you say, well, I believe you're healed. Well, I'm not. I'm actually hurting still. Well, I know, but you need more faith. Well, Jesus never told that to anybody. As a matter of fact, he said that if you have faith, you'll pray for me. You'll lay hands on me and I'll be healed. Why don't you give him to me? Because I can't find him. Wouldn't that be a challenge? I'm just taking out excuses, man, because they're stumbling blocks. It's called removing the stones, making the path clean and clear that nothing's in your way. I'm not preaching at anybody. I'm pouring out my heart on something that I believe to be true. And it doesn't come without a testing of fire on a constant basis. But the testing of the trials and the things that you don't see, it's a trial. You know, Paul was told, he was in Galatia, or actually spoke to the Galatians. And he said, the last time I was here, you'd have plucked out your eyes and given them to me. And we say, well, Paul had an eye disease. And we were so quick to jump to conclusions. Well, he wrote in large letters too. Stop it. The last time he was there in Galatia was the day after he was stoned and left for dead. They stoned him and left him for dead. And he gets up after being stoned. If I stoned you and left you for dead, I guarantee it wouldn't be your knees that were bleeding. Your face would be pouring out nasty stuff. You'd look really dead. If I believed you were dead, you guaranteed. So he gets up and he preaches the gospel anywhere because it was prophesied the things that he would suffer. But Paul said, you know what? I don't love my own life unto death. I'm going anyway. He goes and preaches there the next day. And he couldn't even see to preach. And we love to make up these things about his eyes. Instead of studying the reality of the word and showing yourself approved. Because we need another message. It's not about another message. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about his message. I'm not faulting pastors for studying. They're amazing. I have a most amazing pastor. And he reads and he comes up with the most amazing stuff. It's awesome. But it's not to validate his experience at the cost of truth that sets people free. Are you picking this up?